Revelation chapter 20 tonight, Revelation chapter number 20. I appreciate you being back here tonight, and as I told you this morning, this is a twofold message, and I want you to pray for me tonight as we go into the second part of the message. I'm excited tonight. It's blessed my heart to, I'll just tell you this. I told Daddy on the phone when I left from here today, I felt like about 6,000 pounds took off my shoulders. And I got home, and it felt like 4,000 sat down on me again. And I'm glad to be back tonight to share what God's laid on my heart. Revelation chapter number 20. If you found your place, would you be willing to stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God tonight? Revelation chapter number 20. Look with me in verse number 6 tonight. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Can I say this to you tonight? Verse number 6 is speaking directly to those who've been born again, speaking to those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and speaking to those children who just got born again. Amen? I can say with you this morning, I'm glad I'm going to reign with him for the millennial reign of 1,000 years. Aren't you tonight? What a time that's going to be. Satan's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. He's going to be bound and he's going to be took away. And for 1,000 years, we're going to reign with Christ. And I'm excited about that tonight. Notice what happens. It says in verse number 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Help us pray. Now, dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the good news that we've shared. And God, you're moving this church one more time. And God, I thank you for Miss Layla, God, in her confession this morning. And God, Lord, you reaching down and touching her heart. God, I'm so thankful. And God, I'm thankful to be back one more time tonight, that as we've opened your word, and God, as you stirred our hearts this morning, God, I feel your spirit here tonight. And Lord, I'm thankful to be back in your house. And God, I pray for a touch of heaven. God, I pray for a fresh anointing tonight as we've opened your word. Lord, I need you to preach this. God, I can't do it without you. And Lord, you've burdened my heart. And God, I believe I'm obedient tonight by going this direction. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd move on the scene here in a great way, Lord, as we've never seen before. And God, I pray for a touch of revival, Lord, on this place, that our hearts will get stirred and our field set on fire. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd, Lord, be willing to stand and testify of your goodness. God, I love you tonight, and I thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' and precious holy name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated tonight. As this morning we started out coming in Revelation chapter 20 and read verses 5 through 15, we preached a message simply entitled, The Saddest Words That's Ever Been Heard. And we went through that topic this morning and preached on hell and the great white throne judgment and those that were cast into the lake of fire. And I'm just going to say this to you right now in this very minute. Verse 15 is one of the most moving verses out of the Bible I believe we as Christians can read. To know of the second death, of complete separation from God. But I'm glad this evening, I just want to say this to you. I'm glad this evening for those that are saved. And let me say this to you tonight. As I preach this morning on the subject of the saddest words that was ever preached, I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 25. And we're going to read there real briefly tonight, and we're going to try to preach the message that God's laid on our heart. But Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 14, the Word of God says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And into one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I am not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange. And then at my coming I shall receive mine own with usury. Take therefore thy talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you say, preacher, where in the world are you going with us tonight? We've got some things we've got to cover real quickly. I want you to notice something tonight about the 3 that's recorded here. To the first one, it says the Lord gave him 5 talents. To the second one, notice what happened tonight. It says that he had 2 talents. And notice the last one, he received 1 talent. Can I say to you tonight, I don't care how small you feel in the army of God. If you've only got 1 job, do that 1 job well. If you've got multiple jobs, do that multiple jobs well. But let me say this to you tonight. God never saved nobody to set them on the bench of do nothing. And God never saved an individual to set them on the side and not be profitable and not to bear fruit in His house. It is the purpose and the will of God in every Christian's life to produce fruit. Now, I want you to understand something real quickly. When we're speaking of fruit, we're talking about spiritual things, speaking about seeing those getting born again. Speaking about those tonight that are being born into the family of God, and seeing those maybe who was backslidden getting right with God. Now, I'm just going to say this to you tonight. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, when little Layla called out on Christ and accepted Him as her Savior this morning, that mom and dad's going to have a reward for that, for bringing that child up in church. Amen? And I believe tonight, you as a mom and dad, bringing your children to church, when they reach the age of accountability tonight, and God saves their soul, and they trust Him as their Savior, I believe God's got a reward for you. And I believe tonight we'll go a step further. For grandmas and grandpas, you get a part of it too. And might I say to you tonight, we are seeking to worship and to will and do the things of God. I want you to notice now, he gave him five talents. Now, I don't know what that talent is, whether that's some money or whether it's actually a talent of preaching, but the Bible says that he gave him five talents. And the reason I believe that's money is he's talking about the money exchangers toward the end. And I'm going to say this to you tonight, that one that had five went and doubled what he had. Can I say to you tonight, not every preacher is called to pastor 200. And can I say to you tonight, not every church is supposed to run 200. Y'all there with me tonight? And can I say to you tonight, some churches don't run 10 or 15, but they need to run their 10 and 15 well. And can I say to you tonight, them that run 200 need to run 200 well. And might I say to you tonight, you say, well, preacher, I'm just thankful for what we've got. I'm thankful for what we got, but I'm thankful for what God's going to do. Amen. And I want you to notice tonight that one that had five talents, when his Lord came back, he brought him 10. When the one that had two came back, he had four. And when the one that had one come back, he had one. And there's some sayings in there. You say, preacher, Lord God, I hope you ain't preaching on that one that brought back one tonight. No, we preached on him long enough this morning. But I want you to look at what the Lord said to his servants. Notice what he said in him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on simply this, the sweetest words that's ever been heard. Can I say to you tonight, if you're here and you've been born again through the precious blood of the Lamb, there oughtn't to be nothing more than excites you is to be able to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Can I say something to you right now? I believe it ought to cheer everybody's heart up to know that God on that judgment day is going to look at you and I and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's going to say, I didn't make you rule over many things. He said, but you was over a few things. And because you was over a few things, I'll make you a ruler of many. I want to say this to you right now. Put a smile on your face. Can you imagine King Paul? I'm talking about Paul Benton. Can y'all imagine Paul being a king? God help his nation. That's all I know. I'm teasing, Brother Paul. But can I say something to you? We're going somewhere with this tonight. I believe it bothers our hearts to think of the Lord saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. But tonight, for a child of God to have the blessed reassurance and know when it comes down to Revelation chapter number 20 that you're going to hear those sad, sad words of depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and your heart's going to be torn all to pieces because you're going to see loved ones dying and going to the second death of the lake of fire. But to know in your hearts there's a God that found your name written in the blessed book of life and that you've been born again. And he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I about feel like running a pew on that one, amen? Can I say something to you tonight? I realize we live in troublesome times. I realize we live in wicked days. And I realize that the devil's having us run. But I'm glad when it comes down to Revelation chapter 21, how the devil's been cast into the lake of fire. And the beast has been cast into the lake of fire. And death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. And I'm glad the former things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. I'm glad to know tonight, hey, there's a God still worshiping, and there's a heaven still being built, and I know that I'm going there. Amen. Go with me back to Revelation chapter number 20. It's about to get good. You just hold loose for a minute, amen? Go back with me to verse number 15. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you notice this morning, as we got to this part, I explained to you that this is not an hour later. This chapter number 21 starts immediately after chapter number 20. You say, well, praise God, you're right, preacher. 21 comes after. No, I'm saying we're still gathered around that throne. And the Bible starts in 21 in verse number 1. And John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Because if you go right back up here and jump in verse number... go with me. Let's go back real quickly. And I'm going to find this and we're going to go on tonight. Verse number 11, it says, and I saw in chapter 20, verse number, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. But you come down to chapter 21. And John starts off that chapter, Brother Daniel. And he said, I seen a new heaven. And I seen a new earth. I don't know about you, but I like to go out when the sky is clear. There's somebody, I think it was Miss Betty Green the other week, talking about the meteor showers. I like to go out, and my dad likes to go out when the sky is clear and to look up into the heavens and see the wonderful works of God. I'm going to say something to you real quickly. They just might be stars and galaxies to you, and NASA's been looking for life on other planets. Can I say something to you real quickly? There's life beyond us. And when I looked at that third heaven, I began to see the hand of God upon this place and upon you and I and upon the galaxies that makes up this universe. And might I say to you tonight, there's life beyond here. And John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know about you, but I like this place called earth. I think it's pretty good. How about you? You like your home place? You like your house? You like your car? I'm going to be honest with you. When you get to thinking about it tonight, we really ain't got it that bad. And I like to go up on top of Stone Mountain and look out over Long Bottom, Brother Ryan, and see the beautiful work of God. But there's something I want to tell you right now. This earth is vile and filthy. This earth is full of sin. And its great wonders and its great beauties, Brother Junior, that we see is full of sin. Can you imagine tonight, as we look at those stars, the beautifulness of without sin? Can you imagine what this earth would be like without sin? For John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And can I say something to you tonight? We often use this phrase, passed away. Anybody want to take a shot at what that means? It means it's dead. Gone. No more. John said, I saw a new one. Pay attention with me tonight. We're going somewhere. He said, and I, John, or notice we go back. He said, the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. I'm going to tell you what's happening right here. My daddy's starting to well up and weep back there. He ain't going to have no more pier fishing. Some of you right now are going to tear up. There ain't going to be no more cruises. There ain't no more sea. But I want you to notice right here. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I can say this tonight, and I can mean this. There was nothing more that excited me than to stand behind the pulpit at Charity Hill Baptist Church and see those back doors swing open and my bride to step through. Amen. Some of you men ought to go back to the day you got married and think about the day that your first time you seen your wife, and her adorned in her white dress, her hair prepared and put in place, her makeup done just right, and her fingernails done the same. I've got to stand with a few young men as her bride entered the building. And you know what? Every one of them turned and looked at me and said, "My God, she's beautiful." Amen, Joe. Jump on, son. I'm trying to help you. But can I say to you tonight, when John saw this city, he said, "It looks like a bride prepared for her husband." We're going somewhere. Bear with me. The Bible said in verse number 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.'" We got to verse number 4 this morning. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Can I say right here, you got to a place right now, there's no more heartaches. There's no more knowing grandma or grandpa's going to die, or mom and daddy's going to die, or where your grandchildren's at, or what's going on, or who's going to make it. You're at a place in chapter number 20 and verse number 4 where all those things are done. And the Bible said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Can I just stop right here? That means He's going to be close enough, Brother Aubrey, that I can touch Him. That means, Brother Joe, He's going to be close enough that I can lay my head over on His bosom and weep and cry, and God's going to rub my face, and God's going to console me, and God's going to care for me, and His loving arms will be around me. Boy, I can tell you right now, what a day that will be. Let's go on. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain." Let me ask you right now, real quickly, tonight, how many of you are looking forward to that day when this old body don't hurt anymore? Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. How many are getting excited to think about it? That nobody's going to be able to hurt your feelings no more. Whoop. Can I say something to you? How many of you will be glad that they have to shut down the funeral homes?
Yeah.
How many of you going to be glad? My wife will be glad because Hugh Chatham won't need her no more. Tri-County won't need her no more.
Amen.
They'll shut down every hospital on the face of the earth. And can I say something to you? Won't be no more morgues. Won't be no more graveyards.
Amen, brother.
And glory to God, there won't be no more churches. Boy, some of y'all, that just bothered you right now on why I said there ain't going to be no more churches.
That's right.
Because there ain't but one church.
That's right.
That's And can I say something to you tonight? Brother Timmy, he's trying to follow me with that camera. I got to get back up here and behave. Can I say something to you tonight? There ain't going to be another Maple Springs. There ain't going to be another Rhonda Tabernacle. There ain't going to be another Parish Baptist of Rhonda. There ain't never going to be another Beautiful Lamb Baptist Church. Hey, there ain't going to be another Macedonia Baptist Church or a Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. There's going to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And can I say something to you? Hey, there will not be any more fighting in the house of God. There will not be any more bickering in the house of God. Hey, it'll be worship of a holy God and worship of a loving God. And God Himself will be their God.
Amen.
Can I say something and tell you tonight? It does my heart good to know there'll be no more hindrances.
Right.
Oh, some of y'all, I'm getting ready to get y'all tore up. And guess what? We'll be in church all the time.
Amen.
Bless your heart, you give 4 hours a week. You're going to be there for eternity.
If you're that miserable being in the house of God now, why in the world do you want to go to heaven for? Come on now. Yeah, bless God, I got better things to be doing, like going to hell. Let's be honest. I just don't like to get around that crowd. They shout and holler too much. Why you want to go to heaven for? I ain't going to sing. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. Why you want to go to heaven for? Some of you need to ask yourself that tonight. Why you want to go? Well, I just don't like to be made uncomfortable when the Holy Spirit comes through. Why you want to go to heaven for? We're going somewhere tonight. You see, tonight, we're talking about a perfect, perfect place. Y'all all right if I preach about another hour? All right, because we got a lot to cover, and it's almost, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's 4 minutes till seven. Hang on, you're going to be all right. Notice what it says. And he that sat upon the throne. Now remember what I told you, coming out of chapter 20 and verse 20 and to chapter 21. We are still around the throne room. And the Bible says in verse number 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. What's done? Everything around us is done. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know what's sad, though? The Lord God couldn't speak to John and just talk about heaven. He had to remind us yet again in verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what he had to do, Brother Gwynn? He had to remind us one more time that unless you get born again, you ain't going to be right here. He says this, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now some of y'all, I'm about to help y'all tonight, and y'all just don't know it yet. The angel come to John. I'm going to do this real quick. He said, come here. He said, come here. Come on, John, I'll show you something. He says, you trust me, don't you?
Yeah.
He said, let's go up here and I'll show you something. He said, come on, we got to go up to a high place. Come on, John, you ain't excited. He said, now I'm going to show you the bride. Notice what he says. And he says, he carried him away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, wait a minute. John, you just wrote down here that the angel said you was going to show the bride the Lamb's wife. But then I'm showing you a city. You with me?
I'm with you.
All right, let's go on then. He said, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now the angel talked with him. Now notice what he says. He had a golden reed to measure the city. Now, I don't know about you, but John was getting a detailed tour. You know what he said? He said, come here, John. I want to show you the bride. Now, we're going to do something, John. Wow. Just because you done seen it, we're going to go measure it. Come on, John. He said, we're going to go get right in it. You say, "Preacher, you going to run around whole death tonight? Lord, let me." I will. Let's get back over here. He said he goes over here and he starts measuring. And it says, "In the city lie four square," which means up, down, square, there, down, all around a cube. He says this, "And the length is as large as the breadth, so it's as long as it is wide." Y'all with me? Now we're going somewhere tonight. Y'all bear with me. And it says the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now I don't know about you, but that sounds like a long ways. Mm-hmm. Let me just help you real quickly. Furlongs is German. And when it breaks down in the Greek, it's over 1,500 miles for 12,000 furlongs. Now I don't know about you, but that's a long ways. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how long John's tour of this city took? Because all he had was a reed, and that man started measuring. You say, "Well, he's God, but he still had a reed." Right. I don't think, Brother Paul, he had a reed that was 1,000 yards long. Him and John got up close and personal to the city. And I want you to know what happened, John. I know you rhyme, but you're John right now, okay? And he says, "With the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." All right, John, you sit down right now. He said, "We got up there and got to measuring that city." He said, "Let me break it down for you and I today and for Brother Ryan." He said, "It's 1,500 miles that away." He said, "Then it's 1,500 miles that away." He said, "Then when we got over here, Brother Ryan," he said, "it's 1,500 miles that away." He said, "Then when I got over there to where 1,500 miles that, Brother Joe, it's 1,500 miles that way." He said, "Then you don't know what blew my mind? As we got right in the middle of it. And it's 1,500 miles that away." Mm-hmm. "Y'all all right? We're getting ready to go somewhere." And he said, "Not only that, Brother Gwynn, it's 1,500 miles that away." I don't know about you, but that's a big old place. And I'm going to tell you this, it took John some time to get around that place. But I want you to notice, he said it was as a bride adorned for her husband. Go with me real quickly. Now, he's given the measurements. He's told us about the gates. He's getting ready to tell us about the walls. He said he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, and that is of the angel. So he gave John a measurement. And I had this wrote down. Now, I ain't got it with me. But I can't remember if it was, I think it was 70 yards was the wall, the height of. Is that right, Daddy? I don't want to try to give you something wrong tonight. But he said the wall was 70 yards high. But we're getting ready to get in some stuff right here. He said that wall was high. You say, "Well, preacher, well, bless God. If all the devil's done away with, and all the evilness is done away with, and all the wickedness is done away with, why in the tarnations would God want a wall?" John, you ask him, because I don't know.
Yeah.
All I can say is God wanted a wall, so he built a wall. Y'all was hoping for some great explanation there, wasn't you? I didn't have it. But I can say this much. I believe it's because that's the way the old cities were built. Amen. As a sense of defense. And he had gates. But the gates ain't never closed. Now go with me. He goes through and he said in verse number 18, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold like in the clear glass." Notice, "And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, and the 11th ajathus, and the 12th amethyst." Now, I'm sitting here thinking, and I can imagine, Ty, what color amethyst is. It's like a purple. Now, y'all got to remember, technically and legally, I'm colorblind. But now I can see green because there's a lot of green. But technically, according to the eye doctor, I'm legally colorblind. And so that's why sometimes when I'm reading where Jesus is writing in red, I have time seeing it. It looks like it fades out on my paper. And so I have to follow real close. Now on the black side, I'm good. But I can imagine the color of emerald. I can see green. And I can imagine amethyst. And I can imagine what jasper is. But some of these colors, I can't imagine what they are because I can't tell you what they look like. But I'm going to say this. Those stones are in their very purest form. Purest form. Now I'm getting ready to burst some of y'all's bubble. But the city, you know, I'm under conviction when it's talking about the streets of gold. It says street of gold, and we're going to cover that real quickly. But I want you to get a hold of something. I could about run an eye on this and shout. That whole city is made of gold. Y'all just get what I said? It's made of gold. And just not any gold. It's pure gold that's clear like glass. And if you got those 12 foundations of those radiant colors, and the city itself is pure gold, but you got 12 foundations of different colors, and you got gates on every side, and they're made of a pearl. He didn't go cheap on his bride, did he? Let's just park this thing right here for a little while. He didn't drag a little single wide trailer that's beat all to pieces and said, "Well, honey, you're the king or the queen of my double wide trailer." Some of you women ought to get up and about shout on this. He gave his bride the very best. And he spared, Brother Robbie, no expense. He built the houses out of glass gold. Out of the purest form gold that I have never seen. And John's getting to measure all of this. He's getting an up-close detail of it. I want you to know what happens. And it says this, "And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Now I want you to notice something. That city's 1,500 miles long. 1,500 miles wide. And then another 1,500 miles all around. That's a big old place. Now, how many of you have not got your King James Bible? How many of you would agree with me tonight? It says street. Are we in a one accord right there? Now, where in the world does it say streets? Can I say something to you? I work in the automotive industry, but there ain't no need of a Ford or Mercedes over there. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be in your spiritual form and you can travel without the means of gravity. And you can go wherever you so choose in that city. I don't believe there's a lock on any one of them doors. Now them preachers that jump up here tonight and they'll say, "Well, bless God, I've got a mansion over there." I disagree. John chapter number 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Now he didn't say, "Brother Odin, everybody has a mansion in my Father's house." Y'all follow me? I'm giving y'all a little clear perception right here. He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." But I want to say this right here to you. You ain't going to need to go nowhere and go sleep, Brother Don. Some of you that have to wear your PPAP and CPAP, you ain't going to have no need of it over there. So guess what? Lincare is going to be out of business. Brother Daniel, you're not going to need to tote Fred on your shoulder no more over there. Because I'm going to be honest with you. And you that suffer from allergies and afraid you're going to get germs like me. I don't like germs. You keep your germs. I don't want your germs. There ain't going to be no worrying of germs over there. Why? Because sickness and pain, all that's the former things. And he says there's a street of gold. It's transparent glass. We ain't done yet. We're just going through the city. But he says this, and I saw no temple therein. You know what he said, Brother Gwynn? He said, I didn't see a church house nowhere. Did you get that, preacher? He said, I traveled on the outside. I traveled on the inside. He said, I went down the street of gold. He said, I looked through houses, and I've yet to see a church house. I don't know, but that does something for me right there. He says, I didn't see it. He said, why didn't I see it? He said, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Notice we're talking about heaven, but what do we got to do? We've got to go back one more time and remind it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I told you tonight's message, the title was The Sweetest Words Ever Heard. Can you imagine tonight, here we have struggled all these many years. Some of you are a lot older than me, and some of you have seen a whole lot worse than I have. And some of you are seeing some experience and some things right now that you can see the Word of God unraveling and being truthful to you tonight. And some of you are on the brink of it that you're getting homesick because you're ready to go home. And might I say to you tonight, when you leave this place, if God calls you out of here, you ain't going to this city right yet. Hello? You see, because the great white throne judgment ain't happened yet. They ain't grandma and grandpa walking on the street of gold. Some of you, I just hurt your feelings right there. I didn't. God's Word did. Because the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 21 that in chapter number 20, all the things have got to be passed away and cast into the lake of fire before John saw the new heaven descending from God onto the new earth and the new heavens, and then he got to measure it. And John, I believe tonight, if John could come back from the grave and look at you and I tonight, he said you wouldn't believe the miraculous beauty that was there. He said, when I got to the walls, Brother Gwynn, and they were 70 yards high, he said they was jasper and they had the prettiest reddest tint that you ever seen. He said, then we got on the inside, Brother Robbie, and he said, I got to see the structures that he had went away to build, and I got to see the structures that Jesus was working on, and I got to see that there's made of the finest gold you've ever seen. And he said, I got to go down to a place and walk on the street of gold. And he said, as I was walking there, Brother Robbie, above him. And he said, I seen the foundation shining through. He said, I looked around. He said, I didn't see a church house anywhere. He said, then all of a sudden, he said, there's a light like you ain't never seen. He said, God was walking around. And he said, the Lamb of God was walking with him. And he said, the light of that city, I was the Lamb of God. He said, it was that Jesus that died on Calvary was walking through that place. And I believe John would look at you and say tonight, you ain't never seen nothing till you seen the holy light of God shining through that pure glass and shining off of them foundations at the lovely rays that God has built over there. Hey, can I say something to you tonight? I sure am glad I'm saved because He's going to prepare a place for me tonight. And if He's going to prepare a place for me, He will come again and receive me into Himself, that where He is, there I may be also.
Amen.
Can I say something to you tonight? How much God thinks of you and I. He hung on Calvary.
Amen.
To give you and I our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And He didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to leave out of here. And He said, I'm going to make intercession on the right hand of the Father. And He says, while I'm making intercession on the right hand of the Father, I'm working on something for you. I don't know about you tonight, but someday these troubles and trials are going to pass.
Yeah. Amen.
Some days these heartaches are going to flee away. Someday I ain't going to have to say goodbye to another friend or another loved one. And thy Lord's going to speak down the good to me and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I can honestly say tonight, He'd look down, He'd say, I made you ruler of a few things. And He's faithful. And He said, I'll make you ruler over many things. And He says not to stop there. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I just got to thinking about heaven. And for me to get what I got to preach across, I know we're being a little longer tonight than usual, but for me to get what I've got to say across tonight, I had to tell you about that place called heaven. But can I say something to you tonight? How beautiful heaven must be. Now, I don't know about you, but if you flip in your redback book to that song, that hymn, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, it was wrote on the imagination of a man's heart. But can I say something to you tonight? There's something more in that place called heaven than the street of gold. There's something in that place called heaven more spectacular than the place being built of pure gold. There is something in that place called heaven that is more beautiful than the 12 foundations.
Amen.
And can I say something to you tonight? There is something that draws attention more than them gates that are made of a pearl. Can I say to you tonight, if I could put it in a way so we could understand it tonight, when we enter into that place, it ain't going to matter about the gate of a pearl. It ain't going to matter about the 12 foundations. Y'all bear with me. It ain't about who I'm going to meet by the river. Go ahead, preacher, that's good. It ain't about who I'm going to see by the river. And it ain't about whether He's built me a mansion or not. It's all about seeing that Lamb of God.
Amen.
In His wonderful, beautiful countenance that shines like a light you've never seen. And to hear them angels crying, holy, holy. Go ahead, preacher. How is it? How is it, preacher? Come on. What do they say? Come on, preacher. Stand up. You can help me. Come on now.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. For you, for
Man. Now, I don't know about you, but there might be another angel like Ty that stands up. Hey, preacher, stand up. Come on, Ty. And they begin to cry out. What do they cry out, fellas?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come.
And Brother Robbie, there might be another one that pops up. Come on, Robbie. What do they cry out, fellas?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come.
Preacher, can you help them?
Yeah.
Stand up with them. There's angels popping up all around. What are they crying out, fellas?
Holy, 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 the Lamb of God.
Listen to them. Wow. You know what, boy? We all are all excited about that tonight.
Yeah.
Let's sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down, brother. I mean, y'all are super excited about that. Holy, holy, holy. I know Daddy's sick, so that's why I tried to get him some help.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they up there looking around going, holy, holy, holy. Y'all believe that? Or do you believe they're going, holy!
Mm-hmm.
Holy! Some of you, that scares you right now. Some of you, I done just made you uncomfortable. And them angels are crying out, holy, holy, holy. And all of a sudden, something's going to happen in that place. There's going to be a song that rings out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be singing it.
Lord God, Robert's going to be singing. And they're going to be singing a song that the angels don't know.
Yeah.
And for years and years and years, them angels have been standing around the throne crying out, holy, holy, holy. And about that time, the choir's going to strike up the song of the redeemed. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Them angels are going to turn around and say, I don't understand why they're singing. I don't know that song that they've just struck out, but something inside of me is beginning to feel what they're feeling. And can I say something to you? The Lamb of God's going to be standing there, and you're going to see people clapping and waving them hands and worshiping Him in the fullness of their heart and singing like there ain't nobody there. And they're singing, I'm redeemed! I'm redeemed! I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You say, preacher, you've just slid off your cracker. I can't wait to go. The longer I stay here, the longer I serve Him, the more I want to worship Him. And this evening we're sitting in here in the house of God. And I've just told you what He's prepared for you. And we come through the doors and we begin to sing. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more cloud. I don't even know. You help me. To dim the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my hallelujah! When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain. No more parting over there. And forever I will be. Who?
One,
What a day, glorious day that will be. All right, let me ask you something before we sing the chorus. What a day that's going to be. Don't you do something right now. I know this is odd and it's unusual, and the preacher done struck out in song and scared half of you to death. I scared myself about halfway through it, I'm going to be honest with you. Didn't know all that's going to happen tonight. But you just started singing. Place no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more heartaches, and no more burdens to bear. A place where there's no more parting. And some of you sitting here tonight and your arms are folded. You can't sing. You can't get happy. You can't sing out. Again, I ask you, why are you going to heaven? Because I don't know about you, but I preached long enough and hard enough about a place called hell, and preached long enough and hard enough about a lake of fire, that when I can go back and start telling about a place my Lord and Savior's built, and what a day that's going to be, Brother Quinn, when He reaches out and He grabs me by the hand and He says, I'm going to take you to the promised land, and He begins to guide me and He takes others among you, and I know that I'm leaving the world that I'm in behind and know that I'm going to be in His glory. It makes me want to stand up and sing. So let's stand up and let's sing that chorus. And I want you to do something tonight. I want you to rear back and sing like you were singing the song of the redeemed. You ready? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When, let me ask you something now. Does it excite you to know that He's going to step out and take you by the hand? Let me ask you tonight, don't it make you just want to hold your hands up and say, Lord, how I love You, and Lord, how I adore You, and Lord, how I worship You tonight. I don't have to go to a place called hell. I don't have to go to a place called a lake of fire. I don't have to spend all eternity away from You. I can spend it in the very presence of a place that You've built for me, at a place where the devil can't touch me, at a place where death can't get to me, and I can be free. I get to spend that day with You. Come on, sing it now. The promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's sing the chorus one more time. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Can I say something to you real quick? A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Tim's got a hymn of invitation tonight. I know it's been a little different, but I had to mind God. Let me ask you tonight, you might just be here and you might need to slip out.